better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and pick.
Support for In the Garden comes from The Flower Farm, featuring impatient hanging bags and new planters, as well as bouquet subscriptions, soils and amendments, shade and black ground cloth. The Flower Farm, open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing. And welcome to KFSK's In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and with me from Juneau, Master Gardener Ed Byarski. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Mindy.
How are things up in Juneau today?
Well, it's not hardly almost raining much. I guess that's the best we can hope for at this point, right?
Just a little sprinkle, huh?
Just a little sprinkle. I'm out here in, a shirt, and it's not bad. Yeah, don't have my rain gear on. That may happen soon enough. Looking across the channel, I'm over in downtown Douglas, and looking across at the waterfalls coming down from Mount Roberts, which are pretty impressive.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have rain all the way through, tomorrow and Saturday. But then Sunday, it says scattered showers on Sunday, too. But maybe Tuesday of next week we could
right.
be.
Hey, that's not bad. I mean, we're hoping, I'm headed for Haines this weekend where it's supposed to be a little drier, I hope. Juneau's had 9 inches of rain this month, which is 2 inches more than last year's wet July. But Haines has only had 2.5, so I am hoping that we'll dry out a little bit while we're up there, and that'll be good.
I want to remind everybody that this is a call-in program. If you have a gardening question that you'd like to ask Ed while we have him on the line, you can call us at 772-3808 or 888-772-3808. Well, thinking about what to do in the garden these days, and things are very wet and moldy. I just feel like I want to just chop everything down and cover it up with mulch.
Yeah, compost it all, make a big pile and let it rot down. I suppose the slugs are out there. They're loving this stuff, that's for sure, and breaking down everything they can and chewing whatever they can get to. So, yeah, it's certainly time to be ongoing garden cleanup. That's what I'm doing today in a lady's yard, deadheading, pulling out. As luck would have it, I'm still pulling out the last of the allium stems. It's been a while since I've been here, obviously. And geranium stems, if I left these geraniums, they would feed themselves across this garden. Nice blue geraniums, but they would take over.
Uh-huh.
And so, again, that's something, too, just think about deadheading. Assuming that you're not saving seeds, get them out of there, both to help the plant grow better for next year, but also so that they don't. Something you may not want a complete garden full of taking over. So if you have some sort of a balance that you think you're going to maintain with or without nature's help.
Yeah. I have a serious issue with forget-me-nots right now. I did really good at the beginning of the season, pulled all those forget-me-nots and tried to clean all that up, but it's just like they've taken over once again.
Well, sure. And, of course, every time in an established garden, if we miss a year, all those seeds drop into the garden, and they'll stay there. And some of them will stay dormant until the gardener, turns the soil over. They see the light and say, hey, it's time to sprout. So it's an ongoing matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you, ideally in a garden, if you can avoid turning the soil, like you mentioned, mulching everything to prevent them from seeing the light, that would certainly help. In a vegetable garden, you can't really do that, so then it's a matter of weeding and weeding and weeding to keep it under control so that something doesn't get established in there.
Okay. And, of course, fortunately, I have really good drainage all around my area. I mean, we just have gravel all over. I love gravel, and I don't have a drainage problem, but there are so many areas that I know I just see water sitting, all over. So drainage is somewhat of an issue for some people right now.
Oh, definitely. With the amount of rain that we get around here, we've always got to be thinking about that. I mean, assuming that we're not just wanting to grow willows and other wetland-loving things like the Florinde primroses, and, you know, they'll grow on the edge of the muskeg if you let them, or the big yellow iris, same thing. They don't mind being wet. But, you know, that's another one of those that they will take over if you allow it, unless they'll grow in the drier conditions, too. So it isn't like improving the drainage will stop them from growing,
mm-hmm.
but it will allow the gardener to grow a lot more interesting stuff and maybe tasty stuff, too, in the vegetable garden. So if you're on a slope and can, which is good, at least it can drain off. Hopefully the water will drain off. Try not to drain it into your neighbor's yard. That's, you lose points for that, and they don't they don't like it much. So, but if you have to dig some ditches, dig deep ditches, lay down gravel and pipe for French drains, all of that really helps around here. You know, we started out dry this spring. Everything was growing great, and things have changed. You know, they kind of remind us where we live. So, we've got to keep that in mind, that we have a good amount of organic matter in our soil, but also some sand that promotes the drainage. And if we don't drain it off, the rain cools the soil. And again, we're trying to warm the soil to grow more flowers, more vegetables, more fruits, whatever it happens to be.
Okay. What about, for those of us who are venturing out in our rain gear and we want to do, working on our perennial garden, what about, you've got a lot of primroses. What are you doing with that right now?
Well, I'm with some. Of course, some of the I'm looking out at the garden that I'm in, and I'm removing the seed heads of Primula Florindes and Japonicas. Earlier, I removed seed heads of the drumsticks, the pom-poms, but I'm also saving seeds, so that's something to think about. But then as I work my way through the garden, I think, oh, I need to divide these, you know, or I want to have more of these for next year to sell. So particularly for those, the early blooming ones, this is a great time of year to be dividing, and because you can then divide, replant, and they will grow a good root system to anchor them well for the fall and winter. So, for example, one of the pom-poms, the denticulata primroses, it'll be lavender, white, or pink, depending on what you have, you can dig up the whole clump of those. And if you've got a wheelbarrow with water in it, or a bucket, depending on the size of the clump, you can slosh that clump, slosh the roots of it around in there, and doing that, they will pretty much just fall apart. You can easily pull individual plants in a clump apart. You don't have to do any cutting like you may have to do with something like iris or something like that. So you can pull the individual plants apart, lay them out, see how many you've got. Think about how many do you have room for in your garden? Or maybe, I mean, I do have propagating beds since I am in this to make money. So I'll split them up. And before I replant, you know, I've got a good bed. I've got it fertilized well for me, and then I take these denticulatas that I've dug up, and I'll actually clip the roots. I'll clip the roots off to about 4 inches long, and I'll clip off the tops also with a pair of kitchen shears or scissors or a knife, whatever is your favorite cutting tool, and then replant them. It makes it easier to deal with those large stringy roots that they have. And whether you're lining them up in rows or maybe you're making patches in a nice landscape. So you're planting groups of 3 or 4 or 5 in a clump, maybe 6 or 8 inches apart. And then by next year, by the time flowering time comes along, if you do this now, they will have stored enough energy that most of those should flower in the spring. And then by the end of the summer, they will start forming a new clump.
Okay. And why do you trim off the top, just so it's not sending energy to the leaves and all of that?
Well, since I've trimmed the roots, first they can't pump, they can't take up a lot of water initially.
Uh-huh.
You know, they will grow new roots. So I am trying to balance the top with the amount of roots that I have left.
Okay.
And then they will grow new leaves also yet this summer before the fall comes. so we are trying to do a balance. You know, this applies to most any kind of anything you're transplanting, really, this time of year. Again, if you're doing, say, wild iris or Siberian iris, you can do this exact same thing. You dig them up, cut them up at the piece size of the pieces you want, or something like that, maybe a fist-sized piece, or it may have three or four fans, you know, the leaves, the groups of leaves on them.
Uh-huh.
You know, and again, cut the leaves back. And again, this is going to make for easier handling, because otherwise these leaves are going to die back anyway, because they've been stressed, you've lost roots in the digging process. So then what you will see is the new growth, which is, you know, we want to see that you were successful in your replanting process.
Uh-huh.
So again, and it's that also gives you a chance to clean out the slugs out of the out of the middle of the clumps of these things.
Right.
And I mean, and you can even wash these off if you want, you know, to clean it off before you replant into this new rich soil with compost and organic fertilizers and all that sort of thing. Maybe after you've done some drainage work, maybe you've added more sand into your soil if it is quite soggy that you've noticed.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, those are kinds of things that we could be doing right now. I'll just have to get on the, you know, the Grundens, heavy-duty stuff, so you can get down on your hands and knees
exactly,
and do it.
Exactly, right. You're down there in our rubber suits and working away ever so diligently, and hopefully you've got a nice hot bath or hot tub or something, or a sauna afterwards to strip off everything and jump in to warm mm-hmm. up and dry out. But all of that helps. Again, you may redo, you're redoing your garden. Other good plants to be dividing this time of year, the early blooming trolleus are a great one. Again, you can take those up, take a big clump up, or if you want to leave some there, you can also, if you've got a nice sharp shovel, dig down into through the middle of the clump and just remove half of that clump. Take it away, throw some compost and some good soil back into the hole, so the piece that you left behind will just grow and thrive for next year, and then divide that piece that you took out of there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, again, the goal here is what, you know, more perennials and less lawn, right? At least certainly that's
yeah.
what I promote.
Anything else? So you mentioned trolleus, maybe hosta.
Any of the early, you know, the different primroses, the Julie primrose, which are the low-growing ones like Dorothy and Wanda and that sort of thing, are great to divide. And the other thing, that, of course, to think about, too, you could even dig up some early, assuming that you can see where they were, some of the bulbs, some of the surviving bulbs, the bulbs that come back, like crocus and snowdrops and muscari, the grape hyacinths, those even can be dug up. I know some folks who actually will dry them out and then replant them later on in the fall, but otherwise you can think about that if you have big clumps, they've divided and increased themselves. And if you don't have enough bulbs, this is the time of year when you should be ordering new bulbs so that they will show up hopefully in mid to late September when it is time to be replanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So start checking out the online bulb catalogs, and I'm not sure here if, you know, who will carry bulbs, but
you get a feel for what kind of stuff people are carrying from past years. But again, if you want to try something different, you pretty much need to order it and get your order in now or earlier. And so then you can try some new daffodils, new tulips, new bulbs of various sorts that will brighten up your garden come spring. You know, we're always anticipating the next season, even as we're working in this season and thinking how good it's going to be. I mean, it's been a good season in spite of the rain this last month.
Yeah, I think it's going to end. We're going to get some more sunshine here soon. We got a caller. Yeah. I'm sure
okay.
we will. We have a caller. Let's take the caller here on line 3. Welcome to In the Garden.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. One is about rhubarb. Is this the time to divide rhubarb or not?
Absolutely. Rhubarb can be divided almost any time of year. And that's, like I mentioned, about digging down through a big clump. And if you're just going to take half of it away and then remove that chunk, it could be maybe split up and then replanted, you know, and you're changing the soil for that. Again, for me, I don't suspect there's a whole lot of horse manure available in Petersburg like there is in my neighborhood. But again, yeah, lots of rich food, compost, and that sort of thing for it. And then again, if you're leaving half of it behind, then that piece you will be able to harvest from next year. Again, you're going to be dumping good soil back in the hole where you took that piece out of. Because otherwise, if you dig the whole clump up, split it up, and then replant it, usually you need to allow the new plants to grow for a year before you start harvesting.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then my other question is about Virginia creeper. I got a couple of little snippets in the spring, and I rooted them, and I have these great little potfuls. I have two.
Oh,
and,
okay.
So now's the time to get them in the ground?
Yes. Oh, definitely. That again, like we mentioned earlier about the transplanting, is this being a good time of year. So, yeah, get stuff into the ground so they can grow a good root system to anchor them against the freezing, thawing action of this. Who knows what kind of fall and winter we're going to have with El Nino predicted, for whatever that's called. But, yes, get stuff into the ground. I still have lots of pots of plants I brought up from down south that I, too, need to go into the ground. Sooner is better.
Okay. Okay, well, thanks, Ed, for those answers.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, caller. Okay, let's see. Ed, before we let you go, what about trees? We can put those in right now. It's not too late to put in trees?
Not at all. No, again, like we're talking about all of this stuff, if you've got potted trees or if potted trees are available that you can buy, definitely get them in the ground. And again, pull them out of the pots before you plant them. Make sure that those roots are not too pot-bound. That you're not just packed, that pot is just packed with roots. So if they are, grab your little, one of those scratcher cultivator tools and scratch them, loosen them up as much as you can so that then they can spread out and also so that water can penetrate more easily. That's always a challenge with something you're moving from the pot into the ground. You know, that they're trying to get moisture from the surrounding soil. Lately I haven't had to do much watering of the stuff I'm planting, but still, for something like trees which don't have a really big root system, and suddenly they're not confined by the pot anymore, they really do need to be watered. You need to watch them carefully and check and see. So even though we're getting rain, Mother Nature is providing rain. You need to really, the planter, the person who's putting these in the ground, really does need to make sure there's plenty of moisture at the root system. Because, again, they can't pull it in. Once they're established 2 or 3 years, then they can pull it in from, 3 to 5 feet away or more. But that first season, they cannot. So you've got to make sure the water is right there where they need it. And, again, you water them once a day or every other day, and see that hopefully the water soaks in slowly around the plant or the tree or shrub.
Okay. We have another call on line 2. Welcome to In the Garden.
Yeah. Hey, quick question for Ed. I was wondering if he had any access to the Tlingit potatoes.
Yes, we do some. I've got some of those, and a friend has some here in town. Now, these are, we talked in the springtime about, planting certified seed potatoes. That's what we try to aim for. You're welcome. I can put you in touch with a fellow who has these. They have been grown in the open garden for many years, so I just hesitate to recommend moving them into, if you've got a clean garden space. There's always the concern about bringing in scab or other diseases into your garden. So certainly I can put you in, if you want to pass on, either get your name or phone number or email to Mindy, get it to me. I can put you in touch with the fella, and then you can wheel and deal and try to get some.
Yeah, because I did talk to a person up there, I guess it was the University of Alaska Extension.
Yes.
Yeah, Darren Snyder probably.
They weren't releasing anything because they were still testing.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, they were tested some years back. They found that they did have some, the ones that this fellow was growing, and he got them from Lady in Haines, who had been growing them for a long time.
Okay.
So again, they are uncertified. They're basically just garden potatoes. So you get what you get. They are, you know, they come through. You know, they're the right kind of potatoes, but you may get other things that you don't necessarily want along with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's always the concern that we just caution people. If you wanted to say, if you got a couple of these and say grew them in a container for a year or two first, and I mean and I'm doing some of that this year myself. You can grow a sample of them and you can look at them and see what they look like. That they're hopefully they appear to be healthy at least. Some of this stuff you can't tell just by looking at it either. You know,
okay.
So if you have a separate garden bed, a separate place where you want to grow these, you might do that.
Okay. That sounds wonderful.
Okay.
So yeah, get your contact information to Mindy, and she can share it with me, and I'll share you onto the fellow growing these, and then you can talk to them about it.
All right. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
And my email is mindy@kfsk.org. And, of course, you could call here at KFSK at any time. And if you have a question for Ed that I can, save for an In the Garden show, just call us here, 772-3808 or 888-772-3808. And that's the number to call today if you want to ask him a question. We'll be on the air here for just another minute. But thank you, Ed. It's a lot of great advice today. I'm looking forward to checking out bulbs. I didn't plant any last year, so I think this year I'm going to plant some new ones.
I think I'll probably be planting maybe a couple thousand less than I did last year. Since I haven't. So I am planning actually on order, just buying mostly local. We do have quite a large, a good selection of bulbs come into town here. And one more reminder to folks is, considering this kind of weather we've had, is get your garlic out of the ground. If you have, the gardeners haven't pulled their garlic, gently pulled their garlic out with the amount of rain we've had, I suspect some people may find them pulling up naked garlic. That is a stem with garlic cloves arranged that don't have any skins on them. So, and that's the problem with that is then they don't store very well.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I've been harvesting. I'm hoping that those up in Haines have been waiting for me in drier soil will still have some good skins on them. The ones I harvested here over the past 2-3 weeks are looking pretty good. But they were starting to show that skins were rotting off. So yeah, work on harvesting and getting the mature stuff out of the ground and get it curing and high grade for replanting later this fall.
Okay. Ed, thank you so much. We'll let you get back to working for your client, and we'll be talking to you next week on In the Garden, and we'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown.
Support for In the Garden comes from The Flower Farm, featuring impatient hanging bags and new planters, as well as bouquet subscriptions, soils and amendments, shade and black ground cloth. The Flower Farm, open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing.
Homegrown tomatoes, what'll I be without homegrown?